We're heading up to the end of the show here. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of the Head On Radio Network. Agnes Kincaid working the boards out there. And by the way, I want to welcome Bob Kincaid back home to West Virginia, and we're all glad he's back there. The Cup of Joe Radio Show is sponsored by UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news about the ongoing tragedy in the Gulf Coast and Louisiana of the Katrina hurricane. My name is Joe Vecchio, and I was produced by Mr. and Mrs. Vecchio of Brooklyn, New York. Thank you very much. Jeff Allen Wolf is next on your Head-On Radio Network stations, and I'll be back tomorrow. And until then, hey, 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 get back to work.
I want a cup of Joe. I crave a plate of Dave. Oh, and a jar of Joe.
This is the Quality News Network. In northwest Pakistan, a suicide bomber detonated himself in a popular hotel today, killing at least 24 and wounding 25. Anti-government riots have killed at least 40. Opposition politicians have walked out of parliament. In Gaza, leaders of rival Hamas and Fatah factions are pleading for peace as Palestinian gunmen continue sporadic fighting in the territories. 20 people have been killed, 10 of them today, in the past 3 days when the truce between the two parties broke down after months of relative peace. The BBC reports as many as 500 pro-Fatah fighters have just crossed into Gaza from training camps in Egypt. The U.S. military is ignoring a televised warning from al-Qaeda to abandon the search for three American soldiers kidnapped Saturday south of Baghdad. 4,000 U.S. forces are moving house to house in an attempt to locate the hostages. At least 11 Iraqis have been arrested. Two important White House resignations. Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty, the latest casualty in the row over the firing of U.S. prosecutors. Also, Lanny Davis, the only Democrat on the President's Civil Liberties Watchdog panel. Davis is protesting the panel's lack of independence. In its 4 years of operation, the tour boat that went aground yesterday in Alaska has struck something 4 times, failed a public health inspection, and sickened more than 30 passengers on a single cruise. The Seattle-based Empress of the North is under federal investigation yet again. Yesterday, more than 200 passengers were evacuated without incident, and the vessel made it to port safely. Firefighters in Georgia and Florida say the wildfire burning along the border has been fanned by wind. Officials warn more evacuations may be ordered. Nearly 380 square miles have been destroyed in the past 2 weeks. A lightning strike and drought conditions are being blamed for the blaze. On Santa Catalina Island, firefighters are mopping up the remains of the 4,700-acre brush fire that destroyed luxury homes and other structures on the resort island. Damages are estimated at $3 million. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. Or, for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission, Mary Knoll.
Oklahoma officials are accusing Humana agents of misconduct, including pressuring vulnerable Medicare recipients to buy unneeded and little understood policies. The state's insurance commissioners ordered the giant HMO to correct the problem immediately or face punitive action. If World Bank President Paul Wolfowitz is meeting with the board members today, he does not resign. Most members say they'll cast a no-confidence vote. An executive panel has found he violated ethics rules by unilaterally promoting his girlfriend in 2005. Shareholders from the Reuters Group have agreed to accept a takeover offer from Canadian company Thomson, $17.2 billion in cash and shares. The deal will create one of the world's largest financial news agencies. The U.S. Supreme Court has ordered a California appeals court to revisit its decision to approve a jury award of nearly $83 million to a woman paralyzed when her Ford Explorer rolled over and its roof collapsed. Although courts have already cut the award twice, it is one of the largest personal injury grants ever awarded against a car maker. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.19 a barrel. Gold at $666.80 an ounce. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, everyone, wake the hell up. It's the Cup of Joe Radio Show, beginning another beautiful day here on the Head On Network. Wake up, out of bed. Come on, one, two, do those calisthenics. Come on, do those jumping jacks. You there, stop faking it. Stand up. Don't sit down on the couch and move your hands. I see you. I not only can hear you, I can see you out there. We've got webcam action. We're borrowing technology from the Bush administration to watch over you while you listen to my show. How is everybody doing today? My name is Joe Vecchio, and I am coming to you live from Chicago. It's another beautiful day here in Chicago. I went to work yesterday, and I didn't need a jacket or anything. I just went right outside, and it was nice. It was nice to be able to do that again. And, of course, in a couple of weeks, I'll be, man, it's hot out here. Why can't we get some coal? What's wrong? Oh, God, no. So I'm never satisfied. I am never satisfied. How is everybody doing today? It's one of those weeks where you're just trying to get through it for me. I've been having some personal issues that I don't want to talk about because it's not fair to the people I want to talk about not to be able to defend themselves. But I've been having issues that just go to the heart of trying to find the right words, but just the heart of everything you have to deal with on a regular basis, where you live, where you work, that sort of thing. And it's very frustrating because I came up here to Chicago last August, trying to make a new life for myself, and finding myself in the same situation now than I was back then. Just not being able to make enough money and not being comfortable and worried about whether or not you're going to be homeless or something like that. It's just a big pain in the butt, and a lot of it is simply because that the jobs that are out there simply aren't worth it. I mean, I've been looking at other work because my regular day job, I haven't worked a whole lot since Christmas. It's been very, 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 very slow. And I haven't been getting a whole lot of money, and I've been barely keeping up with the rent, but I haven't been able to save any money, you know. So if something happens, it's not going to be possible for me to do it simply because I don't have enough money. So you're faced with these situations and you stress out, and a lot of people are under this stress. And my roommate, who works 10 times harder than I do, is almost in a similar situation. His job just simply doesn't pay him enough money. So... will you guys hold still in the chat room? You're making me dizzy jumping up around and twisting out in there. We got a nice... Oh, stop it! Ah! You're making me dizzy. We got a nice crowd in the Head On Radio chat room this morning. If you want to go to the Head On Radio chat room and talk to some of the smartest people on the internets, just go to headonradionetwork.com. Scroll down and to the right there, you'll see a link for the chat room and click on that and you can type in a name and password and then you can talk to some of the smartest people out there, including our good friends from unreportednews.net, my wonderful sponsors, Ray Hinckley and Sarge. They do such wonderful work down there in the Gulf Coast, keeping us informed of all the stuff that's going on down there that the news won't report, hence unreported news. You can give me a call if you want to give me a call, by the way. The number is 1-877-443-2366. No, Bob, that's not a break. Just mentioning the number. You can give me an email, too, joe@cupjoe.com. And you can visit my website, cupofjoe@blogspot.com. But you know what? I really haven't had a lot going on the blog lately. Mostly I've been concentrating on the radio show and the other personal issues that I mentioned. So maybe two or three times a week I post on the blog, which is not good for keeping up numbers, but you know what? I really don't care anymore because the numbers aren't going to come no matter what I do at this point. The blogosphere has pretty much contracted to maybe about a half a dozen or so major blogs and maybe two dozen or so second-tier blogs, and everybody else is just kind of fighting for attention. At the beginning, it was kind of about 6, 7, 8 years ago, it was really a big free for all, and now it's kind of everybody's kind of settled into where they want to go. And if you want to get any kind of serious attention for your blog, if you're starting one now, then you have to somehow hook up with some of these bigger blogs to get some attention. You got to do it's a lot of work. Realistically, it's a lot of work. You got to have a lot of time. You got to write a lot of posts. You got to argue with a lot of idiots. And I've got other things to do with my life. I'm very sorry. So people say, well, you got to blog horse some more. If you want to get there, and of course, if you try to advertise your blog, people go, why are you sitting there? You just want a post to advertise your blog. You're not writing a post to write a post. So it's like, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. And you get into some of these things like on Daily Coast or on Democratic Underground, which are big community blogs, and you get on there and you try to post something, you try to make a statement, and no matter how benign the statement is, somebody will find something to bitch about. And then the whole topic will turn into that. I remember Cindy Sheehan, the activist. She wrote a post about, the Iraq situation, and she used the phrase trail of tears. And instantly she was jumped on by people who say, that's an offensive term to use for people of Native American origins, because that's the term. And she eventually retracted, and it's like, good Lord. And it's all people trying to show, I'm an important person. I told Cindy Sheehan that she couldn't use a certain phrase, so that makes me a very important person. It's interesting watching all this because of how I view the human race. Humans are social animals. We have always been that way, since before civilization began. We've had to be that way in order to protect ourselves, because individually, humans we couldn't compete with other animals as far as capability of getting food. We can't run particularly fast. We don't have huge claws. We don't have big nasty teeth. We're not particularly large, compared to the other predators, so we had to learn other things in order to survive. And because we're omnivorous, and I will never buy the argument that we were meant to be vegetarian. I think that's bull. We are omnivorous. We're scavengers. That's, we eat anything. That's how we survived all these years, right? But as we grow and develop in society, we develop certain traits because of the society. And Within an online culture, there's always going to be a social amount of social ladder, social climbing, people who doing things like that. And it really doesn't matter whether you're talking about a political thing or something that's fan-based like Star Trek fandom or Japanese animation fandom. It's all the same. You get the same thing. Now, and when you get into the real world of politics and you're talking about people who want to live their lives by controlling other people, that can be a very, very dangerous thing for society as a whole as more and more wealth gets sucked upward. And we've seen that every time that this, that regulations get relaxed or that there's no control over it. There's nothing stopping it. And just all the money gets sucked up with because that's what they're good at. That's what they're very good at. Anyway. Listen, I want to talk about this some more, but I've got some other things to talk about, too. But if you want to give me a call and get into the conversation, and this is head-on radio, which means it is conversation radio and not confrontation radio, give me a call at 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We've got a Beatles break, and we'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head-On Radio Network. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
As I understand the conflict right now between the President's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the President is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I am Joe Vecchio, your humble host. Voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Again, the number to call in, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON, and let's just go right to the phones. Our good friend Kevin from Washington, D.C. is on the line. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hey, Joe, it's Kevin. I have a suggestion that would solve all our problems.
Okay.
Regarding the whole Bush crime family.
Okay.
How about we get George to start drinking and snorting cocaine again?
Are you sure he hasn't already started?
Trust me, he hasn't.
Okay. He hasn't, okay. How do you know?
Ever since his so-called sobriety which has been going on for the past 20 or so years, that's when he started harming people. Before that, when he was drinking, snorting cocaine, he didn't harm a soul.
Well, it's because he was too busy snorting and you know, snorting cocaine and drinking,
and when,
right?
When you clean up, and when he cleaned up, he had no other outlet, and look what happened. He might have.
Well, you know, now George gets high on Jesus. You understand? He gets high on Jesus. Woo-hoo!
And power. You know, the only person he probably harmed was his wife there, who she knew what she was getting into when she married into that family. You know, hey. So, you know, that might be a suggestion. And, you know,
maybe she should have run him over instead of her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, but, you know, people often equate, like, drug use with morality. And believe it or not, a lot of our most moral people were drug users, like John Lennon, Bob Marley, Sigmund Freud, Mahatma Gandhi. They were drug users. And a lot of
what drugs did Gandhi use? I've never heard about Gandhi using drugs.
Used,
I guess
he used hallucinogens. You know, natural hallucinogens. Something like peyote
okay.
and stuff.
That's a new one on me, but whatever. I'm not into that stuff myself, but then again, I don't even smoke regular cigarettes or drink alcohol or anything. And
yeah.
My roommate gets on me like that. What's wrong with you? Why don't you drink?
And, you know, some of the most immoral people on the planet lived very austere, clean, sober lives, like Hitler.
At least in public, anyway.
Well, yeah. So, you know.
So you never know what those guys were doing in private.
Because yeah. Their ultimate high is the power. You know, Pol Pot was a vegetarian and didn't drink alcohol, never smoked or drank or did anything. And
yeah, but Hitler used drugs, and so did a bunch of the Nazi leaders.
Yeah,
they were big druggies.
Meth addicts, amphetamine addicts. But if you look at the scales for like a lot of the great dictators, led probably austere lifestyles.
Mm.
So, you know, they're high.
I'll take your word for it. That's the best I can give you. I'll take your word for it. To really, you know, quite frankly, I'm just in favor of getting Bush all the drugs and drinks that he wants and sending him off to prison and letting him just go away there. And
before he became sober, all he was a spoiled good old boy who loved to party hard. And, you know, there's no harm in that. Now, since he cleaned up, look at how many lives he's ruined and everything.
Well, you know, he takes orders from a higher source, you understand. Much higher source, a much higher. Ooh, look at that.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
All right, thank you, Kevin.
Okay, bye.
Our good friend Kevin from Washington, D.C. You know, I'm still not certain that Bush isn't drinking. And there's been some interesting rumors floating around the White House about him and Laura, about how Laura doesn't stay there very much anymore. I don't know. But if you look at Laura Bush, you know, I don't think you can get a much more of a Stepford wife. Can you imagine it? Because you look at her face and she's so stiff. I can't, you know, you can't see the crooked smile. But take a look at a picture of her and she's, I'm a robot. You know, and compare that to, you know, Hillary Clinton, who is an intelligent, hardworking, vibrant personality. And, you know, I like every time I listen to Hillary give a speech, I enjoy her. And I may not agree with her on everything, and there are things that I don't like about her. But you know what? You listen to her, and you get a sense that this is a genuinely intelligent person. And you know what? I want an intelligent person to be in charge. I'm sick and tired of people thinking, well, he's an idiot, so he must make a good president because he's just like me. No. No. You know, just because somebody's your drinking buddy doesn't mean he make a good president. I remember, you know, I was watching on YouTube the clip, the opening speech that George C. Scott from the movie Patton. That he gives, and all these people around, oh, I wish we had Patton around today, he'd show people a thing or two, yeah, and I'm like, you know, while Patton was a great military general, and he was a total jerk, he's not the kind of guy you want to set policy, you know, anyway. Let me talk about this for a little bit because I came across this in the website Moon of Alabama, and it goes to what I talk about in the workplace and how things can be a certain way. And it was an article about incentive pay. And the guy who wrote the post, there are several people who post on Moon of Alabama, and I don't know the website. Well, it's one of those complicated websites, so just go to my blog, cupofjoe.blogspot.com, and click on the little blue crescent moon there. That's looked at. But he was talking about, the poster was talking about how he was in consulting work, and they were discussing incentive pay with him. And they said, can we motivate these people stronger by increasing the bonus part of their pay? They asked him, and he said he recommended abolishing incentive payments altogether. And there's good reasons for that. When you give someone that type of incentive pay, all you're really doing is giving them an excuse to game the system. Okay? That's really all you're doing. Because that's what the people who look at, hey, all I care about is getting more money. It's not a question of having a better quality product. It's just, I want more money. Now, people who believe in incentives, this is what the guy said, assume that money is the main human motivational factor. Rational people, they say, will always work more and work better if this leads to better pay. Essentially, they think everybody is corrupt, and they cite lots of examples to prove this point. But that is not true. The fallacy here is to mistake cause and effect. If one pays someone a fair fixed amount for doing their job, they have no reason to game the system. To make them do a better job, some smiles, ice cream surprises on hot days, and a bottle of good wine for Christmas will usually have the desired effect. But as soon as you start to offer incentive pay, you urge them to move away from doing a better job to doing a more profitable job. More profitable for them, that is. This is planting the seeds of corruption where none needs to be. The philosophy behind incentive pay is that of human beings is that of humans as rational beings, rational understood in the very reduced sense of a homo economicus, a useful mathematical model for economy science theorists, but without much resemblance of living. And that is so absolutely totally true, and you see it so often in other systems, like, for example, with the No Child Left Behind Act, and what happened in Texas when Bush was governor there, and he put that in, and basically he was just offering more money to schools if the kids did good on tests, and all the teachers started doing was teaching to the test, so they have good test results. Were the children learning anymore? Not really. And it's all because, you know, the teachers weren't interested in what the work ought to be and became much more focused on what's going to protect their jobs, what's going to get them more money for their schools. But in the meantime, you have a bunch of dumbed-down kids who really, you know, they know a test, but they don't comprehend anything above and beyond what their test score is. I've never been one for standardized tests myself. Maybe, you know, I know they have their place, but I think we focus on them too much. But the point is that as soon as you give people that type of monetary incentive, they're bound to game the system. It works that way in the stock market. That's why we had the crash and the Great Depression, because people were gaming the system. And it's just that way in the housing market. People were given incentive to just sell a house. It doesn't matter if the person, you know, could afford to pay for it. It doesn't matter. They were getting good commissions. And they were given incentive to have that, you know, that type of incentive. So therefore, they were selling houses to people who really couldn't afford it. And sooner or later, it's gonna catch up to you, as it is starting right now. I've never liked that either. I've never liked that sort of incentive stuff. And in fact, I remember there was an article about a company where the workers didn't make an hourly salary; they made piecework. So the more pay they produced, the more money they made. And you had people, and they were interviewing people who were bragging about how they would come in even when they were sick. And I'm like, you idiot. First of all, you're coming in and you're making everybody else sick. And second of all, you're not concentrating on your job. You're just concentrating on the numbers. And what happens if something happens that's out of your control, like you need a part or something to do what you need to do, and therefore your production goes down? And good friend Ray Hinckley is talking about how his wife is a school teacher, and how the No Child Left Behind Act has put so much pressure on the teachers and so much work that they can't teach. And our good friend Bob Kincaid, who, by the way, is running the board, he just said, but yeah, that's what it's designed to do. You have to understand that for the Bush people and their financial backers, the Republican leadership, they hate public transportation. They hate public education. They hate public transportation too, but that's another story. They hate public education. They see anything as being a handout. Like Sarge is telling the people talking about, you know, veterans benefits are just a handout, right? Oh, you get something for nothing. Let's take a bottom of the hour break here. We're halfway through the show. If you want to call in and talk to me about this, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We have got the second half of the show coming up, and we'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head-On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. The more you look, the more you'll find out about police spying, which seems unlimited right now. Over the weekend, it came out that the NYPD spent the better part of a year sending undercover cops all over the country to conduct covert observations of people who planned to protest at the 2004 Republican convention. This according to the New York Times. And like the old council pro days of the 1960s, the cops infiltrated some of the protest groups and acted like members, swapping emails, sharing meals, pretending to be friends. Most of the groups posed no threat at all and had no predicate of violence. The bulk of the reports covered the preparations and views of people with no obvious intention of breaking the law, the story noted. One of the groups was Billionaires for Bush, the bunch of spoofers who dress up like the super rich and carry funny posters and chant satirical slogans. Another was the War Resisters League, a group dedicated to nonviolence. This out-of-control spying is a natural outgrowth of the Patriot Act and of the Bush administration's shredding of the Levy guidelines, which were created by Gerald Ford's attorney general and were designed to limit domestic spying to cases where there was an obvious threat. Now, just protesting is perceived as an obvious threat, and they're taking down names. But that shouldn't deter us from protesting. That's what they want. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robert Sunday. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that reaped that pyramid.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yeah. It was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, the horn.
Okay, we're back for the second half of the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio. And I am the man who's informing you every single day. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to keep reminding you of it because it's the absolute truth. I want you to imagine for yourself every single day that the Bush administration, the Republican leadership, and their corporate allies are right there in your house with a gun to your head stealing you, stealing money from your wallet. Because that's exactly what they're doing every single day, every single minute, every single hour. They're just stealing from you. And the only protection you have against that, ladies and gentlemen, is if you're standing there with your fellow workers who are with you in the room holding the guns to their head and preventing them from stealing from you. That's the only protection you have. That is the only protection you have. And until we realize that, we're going to continue to have economic problems, because the reasons why people had enough money to be able to afford to buy houses, that people had enough money to just make a better life for themselves, is because during the days of the New Deal, working people stuck together. It wasn't good for everybody. There was still a lot of racism, which meant that black people didn't get anywhere near as much as they were supposed to get, and they still had a lot of struggles of their own. And when the Democratic Party finally said, we need to get rid of these Dixiecrats, it spelled the end of the absolute power of the Democratic Party, because all those southern states are now Republicans, and Lincoln would be spinning in his grave knowing that the Republican Party is the one flying the Confederate flag now. And I think it's a damn shame. I think these people are a blight on our society, and they should be removed from political power altogether, preferably through the electoral system. But in order to do that, we have to fix the electoral system. It's bad times for this country right now. And I hate to say it, but things are going to get worse before they get better. I heard all the sunshine and butterflies type talking about how wonderful it was that the Democrats won Congress. And yes, it is having an effect, because we're having investigations and we're having things happen now that wouldn't happen if they weren't in Congress. But you know what? For the most part, the Republicans are still winning the spin wars because they still control the media. I want to refer everybody to, I want to talk about a link that I saw. Where was it? No, that's not it. Try it again. Here we are. It was from Glenn Greenwald yesterday. And he was talking about, there was a 3-minute segment from the Chris Matthews show. And I hate Chris Matthews and Tim Russert, all these well-paid morons. But they were all talking about the Gonzalez thing and Karl Rove and, you know, these pundits, these high, well-paid pundits were just sitting there laughing and giggling about, oh, the Democrats, oh, you know, they're so desperate to want to get Karl Rove. You know, it doesn't matter to them that Rove has committed a ton of crimes. It doesn't matter to them. It's all partisan stuff. And let me read a little bit of what Glenn had to say about this, because it's really, really a good article. He says, Beltway media stars really aren't bothered by any of this in the slightest. It's how their world works. Initially, they even refused to talk about the story at all. This is the attorney firing story. Insisting that there was nothing worth seeing here, and we're all but forced to writing about it as a result of the tenacious coverage in the blogosphere led by Talking Point Media's Joss Marshall. Their instinct, the pundits, is to lash out at anyone who suggests real wrongdoing on the part of the Republican political machinery that has ruled their town for so long. They respect and admire the Republicans who wield power in Washington. Media elites particularly love Karl Rove, Mark Halperin to Hugh Hewitt. We say in the book about Karl Rove, who I inspect and enjoy. I enjoy his company. Maybe he did the things he's accused of, but to have this guy's image portrayed and defined by things that are accusations that are unproven, we say in the book, is really outrageous. I don't suppose that made any sense saying it. It makes more sense reading it. But they do admire and love Karl Rove because he is the embodiment of the political power which they worship, and they're angered by the notion that these figures who rule their world, a world which lavishly rewards them, should be accused of any real wrongdoing, let alone threatened with subpoenas and prosecution and imprisonment. Fun and playful political tussles are fine, but anything truly disruptive or threatening is despised by them and considered out of bounds. I've said this before. Back in the 40s and 50s or so, and through the 60s, I guess, most people got their news from newspapers. It was before television news really caught on big. It was before radio news really hit on big. A lot of people got their movie from newsreels in the movies during the 40s and 50s. And television news was just kind of beginning, and it didn't have that kind of clout. But most people got their news from newspapers. And for the most part, the beat reporters that wrote the stories were making the same kind of money that the people who were reading the newspaper were. Maybe a little bit more, maybe they were a little bit better off, but not that much more to make a big difference. Nowadays, most people get their news and their opinions from TV. And they'll watch these TV shows, and really, really well-paid people like Chris Matthews and Tim Russert and all these other people who make gobs and gobs of money, who make in the high six figures, often multiple seven-figure salaries, who have absolutely no idea about what goes on outside of their little bubble. You know, we accuse George Bush of being in a bubble, and he is in a bubble, but these people are too. That's how, you know, when 60 or so percent of the people supported Bill Clinton, they were still calling for his blood because, you know, as David Barter said, he trashed, this is our town, and he trashed it. That's not their place, and he trashed it. And, of course, what David Broder meant was that it was his town, not that it was our town. Not that it was a people's town. First words in the Constitution of the United States, ladies and gentlemen, we the people. That's the foundation of legitimate authority, as Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence. The foundation are those governed. That's the ultimate source of power. And these guys, they've been living in Washington for so long, and they've been doing their thing for so long, they've become far too chummy, not so much with politicians in general, but with Republican politicians in particular. And they can't stand the and they're chummy with them to the point where they can't be objective anymore. They're not objective journalists. A lot of them are just nothing more than paid propaganda people for the Republican Party. Robert Novak. Oh, do you want me to put the name of a spy on there? Sure, I'll put the name of a spy out there in public. Let's do that. I'll do anything you say, boy. And, of course, you know, we know about Fox News. Fox News is nothing but Republican propaganda. It's not even necessarily conservative propaganda. It's just Republican propaganda. When Scooter Libby was, I couldn't believe this. When Scooter Libby was convicted on four or five counts, Fox News said, not guilty. The one count that he wasn't guilty on. That was the big words. Not guilty. Propaganda. And people buy it. But not for much longer. Because there's a limit to that. There's a limit to that. And it's very easy for us to see it because we don't live inside that bubble. We live in our own little bubbles, our own little worlds. But for those of us on the outside, we've been seeing what's been obvious for many, many years now, except that the so-called professional, that's why I call them the so-called professional media, because they're not really behaving like professionals. They've been just doing this for so long, and they're so completely out of touch with what happens that they don't even see that people have tuned them off. And the saying that I use is the saying that the Russian people used to use. Izvestia ne pravda, I pravda ne izvestia. There is no truth in the news, there is no news in the truth. That's why newspaper subscriptions are dropping like a rock. That's why the ratings for many cable shows, news shows, are falling, except for Keith Olbermann, who is one of those few guys that is telling the truth. And it's you know, and thank God for the blogosphere, because if it wasn't for the blogosphere, we wouldn't be getting any of this information. Not at all, because the people up on top don't want us to know, and don't, you know, if the Republicans still control Congress, do you think Alberto Gonzalez would be on the chopping block? And the only reason he hasn't been tossed into jail already is because they're so busy downplaying all the things, all the illegal stuff that he's done. Oh, it's not a big deal. Karl Rove's the same way. Karl Rove should be in jail. He's a criminal. Everybody in the Bush administration is a criminal, as far as I'm concerned. Karl Rove, though, more in particular. We're coming up on the last break here. Let's go ahead and take it. And we'll be back with the last few minutes or so of the Cup of Joe radio show. Just give me a call in if you want. Last chance to get in, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We'll be back with the final segment of the Cup of Joe radio show here on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, I just wanted to listen to that for a little bit. I like that. That's just a gigolo. Oh, there you go. Everybody, sing along. Come on. Come on, one, two.
Just a gigolo. Everywhere I go. I don't know the words, but I don't care. I'm singing Ellie back. It's only one.
All right, that's enough. This is not karaoke hour. Thanks, Bob. You know, the thing about it is I love karaoke. I love doing karaoke, but I suck. I'm a lousy singer. And my late wife, we were both lousy singers, but we both loved karaoke. And we would put on karaoke songs and we'd sing to each other. And, you know, every now and then we get complaints. People thought we were torturing the cat or something. You know, Bob Kincaid. Yeah, everybody sucks at karaoke. That's the point. I saw a tagline once that said, karaoke is a Japanese term meaning tone deaf. Yeah, in fact, my roommate said he went to a karaoke line. He said everybody was having a good time until somebody who really could sing got up there. But, you know, I love the karaoke, and I download a whole bunch of karaoke music, and that was one of them. All the stuff that, all the music that you listen to here in the Cup of Joe show is stuff that I've downloaded, karaoke versions of different songs. Apparently, this is some breaking news here. Just been announced that Tony Snow, the White House press reporter or whatever, communications officer, whatever the heck his name is, the title is, he has cancer. So I hope he does well. You know, what people don't understand, I really don't have a desire to see physical harm to these people. I talk a lot about the baseball bat and just going out there and cracking skulls. But the truth of the matter is, I would be perfectly happy if these people were just out of power and would leave us the hell alone. You know, I don't even care if they live in with a lot of money for the rest of their lives. You know what? Just leave us the hell alone. But they can't do it. And that's the problem with people who are that ambitious, because once you get to a certain point, it's never enough. There's been all this talk because of the movie 300, based on the Battle of Thermopylae. There's been all this talk about, you know, those times, but not much past the wars when the Athenians formed the Delian League and then it turned corrupt. Thucydides wrote about all this, and he wrote in his books, and if you ever read Thucydides, it's very, very dry reading, because it is basically, this person said this person said that, and just basically very straightforward recording. And that's what a journalist does. He didn't embellish it. He simply said, you know, this is what happened. But he did make some observations and some points, and one of the points is that people who have X amount of money will always want twice X. That's what caused the fall of the Athenian Empire, because they weren't satisfied. And still the term that's operative, and I've talked about this on other shows before, are the Melian dialogues. When the Athenians were at war with the Spartans, and they were the two biggest rivals on ancient Greece, the Spartans ruled on the land for the most part, but the Athenians ruled the sea, which actually was much more devastating, because they could prevent food and stuff from getting into Sparta. When the Athenians were at war with them, they were clearing islands out, liberating them, quote unquote, from Spartan rule. And one of them was a very small island called Melos. And the people of Melos, while they were grateful for the Athenians for ridding them of the Spartans, they really didn't have a desire to become a slave state to Athens either. And they were just like, can't you just leave us alone? You know, wouldn't it be all right by you just to let us go? And the Athenians basically said, no, that would make us look weak. We can't do that. You know, and we're not gonna bother you with any long speeches, which you wouldn't listen to anyway. And then they had the operative line. So the operative line, which is one of the ultimate lines in history, says, you know, the strong do what they will, everyone else does what they can. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the ultimate conservative outlook on life. The strong do what they will, others do what they can. And that is the operating principle of the Republican Party, who are just basically representative of the same old greed that's been going on for ages and ages. To those people, ladies and gentlemen, you and me, everyone listening out there, everyone in the head-on chat room, all the other hosts of the head-on network, everybody, none of you are human. The only reason you exist is to help them make more money and to help get them more power. That's the only reason you exist to them. And I keep harping on this tune, and I'm going to continue to harp it until people understand this. These people deserve no place in any kind of authority, any kind of responsibility, because they are utterly, totally corrupt. And they have to get more money and more power. Now, I'm not pretending that I understand what the exact motivations were for going to war with Iraq. You know, I'm sure it's a combination of several different things, several competing different power structures of people who want what. Bart Kopp has been talking about the fact that the meters on the oil that go out of the Iraqi pipelines have been broken for like 4 years. So nobody really knows how much oil has been taken out of there. So they don't know how much, you know, that money should have been going to the Iraqi people, I guess, to help try to rebuild their country, right? But it's just basically being stolen. Then you have the neoconservatives who want to, you know, flower peace and democracy in the Middle East or something like that, send an example to the rest of the Arab world that they have to democratize or we're going to kill you all, huh? We have to kill you in order to save you, right? Maybe that's, you know, maybe that was the motivation. Maybe the motivation was to keep the Iraqi oil off the market, at least officially, so that the value of other oil is greater. I call that one oil finger. Because that's in the movie Goldfinger, that's what the main villain wanted to do. He didn't want to steal the gold at Fort Knox, he wanted to irradiate it so it would be useless and worthless. And therefore, the value of his gold would go up 10 times, roughly. But that sort of greed, that sort of arrogance, that sort of hubris has been with us. We liberals try to build societies that work against these worst aspects of human nature. We try to build society, you know, the whole checks and balances system that the Founding Fathers dreamed up was there to prevent that. But the current Republicans and the conservatives, whatever the conservative ideology is, because I've said it before and I'll say it again, the conservatives were for the British during the Revolutionary War. They were for the slaveholders in the Civil War. They were against civil rights. They were against workers' rights. Wrong on every issue since the founding of the nation. And yet they're still there. Okay, let's wrap it up for today. We've got Jeff Allen Wolf coming up next. The Cup of Joe Radio Show is a production of the Head On Radio Network. The great Bob Kincaid was running the board today. I'm glad to have him. I'm glad Agnes got a chance to rest up a bit. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. Jeff Allen Wolf is coming up next on all of your Head On radio stations. Until tomorrow. This is Joe Vecchio of the Cup of Joe Radio Show saying, hey, 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 get back to work.
Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll dip a mug of Dunn with the creamer of steam. How many more does that mean? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do. Take a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Shaw. Do I need to go on? I want
living in a modern house in any modern city. you know, I run three computers here. However, since I got my laptop, I'm using primarily that for a whole bunch of reasons, but one of them being the fact that I know that it uses considerably less energy than my tower. You know, again, simple things, you know, and we've even taken it further than most people, you know, 100% renewable energy bought through the power company, you know, our hand crank clothes washer, it's still my favorite thing that we've done. And my next thing, Gail and I went shopping over the weekend for supplies to build a raised veggie bed in our backyard. And one of the things that I've been dying to get was a weed whacker. I haven't had a weed whacker. And so I got me a weed whacker. And right next to the weed whackers, in the selection of gas-powered lawnmowers, and this surprised me, were three different models of manual.
You're listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Former Powell aide says Bush and Cheney guilty of high crimes. Cheney caught saying, kick the press out, at an Iraq briefing. Bush changes plan for emergency shadow government. Wesley Clark rips Bill O'Reilly for character assassination. Gonzalez testifies before House Judiciary Committee. Conyers tells Gonzalez, no, let's keep talking about the U.S. attorneys. Administration withheld emails about Karl Rove. Gonzalez testimony contradicts White House revealing Bush conversation over U.S. attorney firings. Report says torture architect feels guilty for Abu Ghraib. Delay to headline ethics seminar? Putin is said to compare U.S. policies to Third Reich. Rice heads to Russia and criticizes Putin. Money health woes haunt Katrina victims, says study. Bush faces pressure on Iraq as Blair leaves. Bush hints at Iraq funding deal. Michael Moore faces U.S. Treasury investigation over sicko documentary's Cuba trip. And probe to dig for past life on Mars. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. It's time to enter the Wolf's Den.